Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 17. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 17. Oh, no. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not in hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?
It's good to see everybody here this morning. You'll notice that you don't have a QR code. I apologize for that. I'm not a QR code type of guy. I'm still back in the 18th century, I think, maybe even further back than that. But we will be studying from God's Word. We're going to be opening up the book of books. And our overall theme, of course, is working together in the church. The idea that we have to work together. My specific task, if you will, privilege, but it's a task, is to emphasize the idea that nobody is unimportant in the church. Everybody here has value. If you're a member of this congregation, I want you to pay special attention, but if you're a member of the church of our Lord and you attend elsewhere, remember you have a responsibility where you are. And you are important there. We're going to focus, of course, on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's our real focal point, if you will. But I also want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And let's read that very quickly. And let's see how this is going to tie in and help us to then transition, if you will, into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery, the idea there is deceit, fraud of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ. Now here's where we're going to focus in more than anything here. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying, building up of itself in love. Now, when you stop and think about this particular text, one of the first things that comes to our mind is verse 15, Christ is the head of the body. But also that the body is joined and knit together. In other words, these parts of this body that he's talking about here, the church, it cannot be separated and function properly. Notice also, this occurs by every joint supplying the needs to every other member. Here's where you and I have a responsibility. If you are a member of this congregation, we have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to be involved in the work in whatever ability, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, whatever abilities we may have. Like what one old gospel preacher one time said about talents. He said, you know, God must really love the one talent man because he's made so many of us. But you know what? Everybody has ability. Everybody does. But notice he goes on, which is, now this every joint supplying the needs to every member, which is according to the effective working by which every part, what? Does its share. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to be blunt about this. If you aren't doing your share, don't complain. If you aren't doing your share, don't give advice to other people that are doing their share. Prepare yourself and start doing your share. Isn't that right, Brother Mike? Prepare yourself to do your part. And then notice what happens as a result of that. It causes growth of the body for the edifying, the building up of itself. Now, I want you to make this comment very quickly. I do not suppose that there is a single one of us here who has not at one time or another at least had a feeling as though we did not make a real difference in the church. I've been there before. I've asked myself many times years ago, what's the point? Why am I even here? You may have thought, well, that if you just stop coming, well, things will go on and just fine. Well, you know what? There's a certain degree that's true. If I pass away today, if I were today to die and leave this earthly realm, this congregation would keep going. But you know what? That if that's not the case, I have a responsibility. I have something to be doing. And I do make a difference. You may have thought that all you were doing really was just filling a space in the auditorium. We used to call that warming the pews. I don't know what they still call it, but we used to refer to it as just warming the pew. Where you sit down, that's where it got warm, and when you left, it cooled off and you went on your way. Maybe you just think, well, all I really do is make a monetary contribution. Well, you know what? Well, let's not diminish that either. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 41 through 44. And you'll recognize this very quickly. And it says here in the text, and Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. Now that word mite comes from the Greek word alepta. L-E-P-T-A is how we might spell that. And literally, alepta was a fraction of a penny. That's how we'd see that today. She put in just a fraction of a penny. It says, which makes a quadrant. It's a Roman coin. And so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, now listen to what he has to say. Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. Now did he mean in a literal sense that her two coins, her two mites, which was less than a penny combined, actually was more than, and we'll just use a dollar amount. Let's say the rich were putting in $100. Did he mean that in a literal sense, that she was putting in more? Not in a literal sense, but notice what he goes on to say. For they have put in out of their abundance. But what did she do? She, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. In that sense, she was giving everything. So you may think, well, I really can't even afford to give a whole lot. Well, so what? God doesn't sit there and judge me based upon what I cannot give. He judges me based upon what I can give. And I like that last song that we sang about the birds and the sparrows. And it reminded me of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, where Jesus says, don't worry. Take no thought. You are of more value to God than the birds of the air. Something as small as a sparrow. God knows when one flies out of a nest, and God knows when one dies and hits the ground. We are of more value than that. So how would we not have a mindset that says, I am valuable to the church? We ought to. Somebody says, well, I'm too old to be doing anything. I'm worn out. I can't do anything else anymore. Wait a minute. Caleb was 85 years old when he said, I've still got work to do. Joshua, give me something to do. I'll take the land. 85 years old. That doesn't mean that we ought to grab a sword or something at 85 years old and get after it. But what it does mean is that we have an example here of somebody who understood that he could still work and do things in the kingdom. So along with the Apostle Paul, as we get to our text of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I hope to dispel any such thought, any such notion that you're unimportant in the church. Because everybody has great value. Every member has great value. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'm going to touch on this here, verses 12 through 14, even though Mike did a great job for us last Sunday morning covering that material. Let's just touch on a few things to lead us into where I want to bring us. Paul opens this section talking about many members making up one body. He opens up this section of this letter by paralleling a physical body with the spiritual body. He says our physical body is composed, our physical being, if you will, is composed of the many members, that one body and many members. Though our body is made up of many individual parts and organs, and even though it takes many parts or members to make up one body, there's still only one body. I'll tell you what, brother, I wish I had a dollar for every time I tried to help people understand that there's one body, one church, and that is all that is approved by God. Period. End of discussion. I could have retired way before 30 years of preaching, probably. The truth of the matter is, this is a fact, and this is something that's taught throughout the Scriptures. There's still one body. Paul responds, so also is Christ. The same thing that is true of the physical body is also true of the church. The many members, the physical part. You know, you stop and think about the human body and the intricacies, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but the idea of all the different body parts and everything having to work together, and this is what ties us back into Ephesians 4, that every joint supplying to every other member, the parts, that which is needful, that the intricacies of the human body, the human heart, the lungs, the stomach. I mean, you start and think about some of the most mundane, if you will, human parts. But they're all intricately woven together, and if one quits functioning right, it starts affecting others down the line. So if we're not doing our part, guess what? Something else is not going to work down the line. Paul goes on here in our text by saying that by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. We won't get deeply into that. But once again, what does he talk about? What is he saying here when he uses this kind of terminology here? One body? That's what he says. That's what he's telling us. There is only one body. Paul was writing to the whole church of Corinth. And therefore, this was not some sort of miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit he was talking about. He was talking to everybody that could have this book read in their hearing or read for themselves. Paul then says to that body, it is not one member but many. One body, but many members. Thus, every Christian, now listen to how the terminology he uses here. Every Christian, whether they were Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, are members of the one body. Now, this is what leads us into our real focal point in this particular lesson here. That is verses 15 through 21. Each and every member of the body is needful. We've already touched on it a little bit, but we're really going to fine-tune it here, if you will. It is here that Paul addresses a serious problem in the church at Corinth. As I read this over and over, it seems to me that there was friction within the church at Corinth that was threatening to divide the church. There was an apparent gloating over the miraculous gifts given to some. There was obviously some jealousy involved. And there was obvious here now, because of all of this, that guess what? There were people who were being made to feel less than important. Otherwise, we wouldn't be reading what we're about to read. But also in this particular section of Scripture, here's the beautiful part about this. Yes, there was apparent friction going on. There was apparent problem here. But guess what? We also learn the value of every member. Still using the physical human body to illustrate his point, Paul says, if the foot should say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, or if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, the question being asked here is, if one body part says, well, I'm just not, I don't have that role. I don't function like that, so obviously, I'm not really part of the body. And the answer was no, emphatically. Of course not. Those are rhetorical questions. No, yes, you are important. I don't care who you are, you can participate. You can work for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ in some way. We're going to talk more about that toward the end of our lesson. One part does not become somehow disconnected from the whole body because, well, it's not this part over here. Brethren, our relationship to the church and to one another as Christians is intact. It goes together. Now, let's notice something here. Let's read verses 17 through 19. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Appreciate Brother Mark reading that for us. If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. Are you listening carefully to this? Just as He pleased. I want this to resonate with us just a little bit. If you are a member of the Lord's church, God has put you here with something to do as it pleases Him. Tie that in. We're not going to go over right now, but go over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4 and tie those two together, that idea. Here we understand something here. God has set each member, each one of us, in the body as it pleases Him, not me. Therefore, I don't have a right, as it were, to act like I don't have something to do. And I'm not important. Yes, you are important. You are of tremendous value to the church. I hope before this is all said and done this morning, yes, I'm going to try to get you out in plenty of time. I know the ladies have their get-together this afternoon, so I'm going to try to do that. But I want us to understand how important you really are, even though you may not think so. I hope you can walk away from here this morning going, you know what? I have a different attitude. I have a different thought process about myself now. Because you are important. Just as it pleased God to do this. But notice also, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? Boy, we would be some strange looking physical critters out there, wouldn't we? If we were just a giant hand, how would we get around? How would we see? How would we hear? How would we function? But you know what? Just like the human body that God designed for us, the church has all these parts too that need to be working together. I thought about this just a little bit, and this always has amazed me. Psalm 139, verse 14, where David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I wonder what prompted David by inspiration to say that. Had he been able to see his reflection in a shiny piece of metal or maybe a pool of water or something like that and looked at himself and go, wow, look at me? Or did he just sit down one day and think about these things and look at his hands and look at his feet wait a minute, how does my eye work? How do these eyes do that? And listen to the birds or whatever that's around him at the time. How am I hearing that? How is that being processed? How am I even thinking? And then finally just came to the point and said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, folks, so is the church. The physical body is. Well, the church is too. What is the church made up of? Members. So, yes, even from a spiritual perspective, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by our God. Notice verse 21 real quickly. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the feet, head to the feet, I have no need of you. No one member, and Mike brought this out Wednesday night. He just kept sipping on stuff. I'm telling you, I was about ready Wednesday night just leave and say, come up here this morning and say what Mike said. But in all seriousness, no one member of the church has a right to elevate himself over another. Elders don't have a right to do that. Preachers don't have a right to do that. Deacons don't have a right to do that. Nobody has a right to do that. No one can say to other, well, we just don't really need you. Yes, we do. Brethren, Paul addresses the issues of humility. Go over to the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 where Paul considers a few things. And of course, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, we all know that very well. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But then he carries on by saying to everyone who is among you, now listen to this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Reminds me of something from back in my day. I remember when I was back at school at Southwest School of Bible Studies. I wasn't the outgoing personality I am now. People were shocked to death when I said I wanted to go to preacher school and learn how to preach. But I had one instructor who recognized that I might just have had a bit of an esteem issue, low esteem. And he said to me, he said, I know, Brother Williamson, that Romans 12 and verse 3 says a man ought not to think too highly of himself, but you know what? There's the opposite side of that coin. You ought not to think too lowly of yourself either. That ties all of this back together, doesn't it? Well, I'm not this body part, so I don't count. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, I'm better than somebody. No, you aren't. You're not better than somebody else. I like Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, not literally saying you're nothing, not literally, he deceives himself. He's just simply saying, learn humility. Learn humility. This further emphasizes the need for each of us taking an active role in the church. Now, number 3 point, and the lesson will be yours. God designed the body to be one living being. We see that in verses 22 through 24. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker, are you ready for this? Are necessary. They're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable, that is, our lowly esteemed parts, have greater modesty. That word modesty there has the idea of beauty. But our presentable parts have no need. Okay, they don't need that extra abundant honor, if you will. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Who did that? God did that. Once again, you don't think you count. You don't think you're important here. God says you're important. God says you have value. And I'm going to bestow upon you greater or more abundant honor than, yes, even the guys who get up here and preach from the pulpit, even those who serve as elders, those who serve as deacons. God says, I'm going to bestow upon you something more abundant than they. They don't need it. I don't need somebody pointing me and saying, look what Royce does. I don't need that. In fact, God says you don't need it, Royce. Be humble, Royce. Be humble. Folks, there is no reason for any member, to be looked down upon, period. Some may think that they are weak and feeble. But Paul here, by inspiration, says they are just as needful to the functioning of the body as anybody else is. And even if you think that you do not possess any great ability, you are still important. And I'm going to make this point here. You are probably underestimating your value. You're probably underestimating the value you are, the worth that you are to this congregation. Hope you leave here realizing I've got things I can be doing. When we start thinking that one member is less valuable than another, that is when God bestows the greater honor upon them. Those who do the thankless, lackluster work in the church in anonymity are the ones that receive the greater or more abundant, I believe that's the King James rendering, the more abundant honor from God. That's a beautiful part. Verse 24, we learn two great lessons. Go back to verse 24 and notice what it says. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Those members whose works are always before others have no need for more honor. They don't need it. And number two, by God's design and desire, the parts that lack are given honor more abundantly. Two simple thoughts in there. Friends, there is no unimportant part of the physical body. Somebody who loses something. I think for just a moment about Brother Eric. I never knew him when he still had his sight. But there was a time when he had his sight, and he's lost it. I think he could probably tell you, yeah, he kind of misses that. That would be nice to be able to see again. To be able to get in his own vehicle and drive where he needs to go, not dependent on somebody else. somebody who's lost, and I had a very good friend who lost a limb, lost part of his leg, had to be amputated, lost the function of his kidneys. I'll tell you what, he missed them. And it began to adversely affect the rest of his life. Though he could joke about it sometimes, especially when I was around. But the truth be known, he missed that. Everyone is valuable here in the church. Neither are there any unimportant members here in the Lord's body. Every single one here has a function in the overall working of the church. And this is just one good reason that your place should be here with the church each and every time that we meet, or at least each and every time that it is possible. Tony and I found out this morning from Sister Amanda Raspberry that Peter has COVID. They'll be home for a while. But you know what? I've come to know about that young lady. And yeah, I called her young, I know. Is that if the doors were open and they were able, they're here. Everyone here should be active in the function of this church. The elders here at 9th and Main are currently working on some programs, outreach ideas that will allow anybody who really desires to participate to do so. We're working on things. In fact, just last Sunday night, Brother Payton put that up on the screen, some of the things that we were involved in, and then literally asked, if you have any ideas, come to us. We're open. Because we want to involve everybody here because you are important. We want to involve everybody here who has any desire to help out, because we know how valuable you really are to this congregation. We want everyone to find their niche, if you will, in the work of the church, because you are a vital part of this congregation. Maybe this wasn't what you would consider to be one of those sermons, one of those lessons, if you will, that was quote-unquote evangelistic, truly outreached to others. But we do want to give everybody here an opportunity to respond to the invitation plea. The Lord Himself said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for what? I am meek and lowly in heart. We're told throughout the scriptures that there is a plan for man's salvation. We're to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to have those sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. And you can do that this morning. If you're not a child of God, but you know what you need to do to be saved, we ask a simple question that was asked of Saul of Tarsus many, many, many hundreds of years ago. What are you waiting on? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God and you just kind of strayed away and you've kind of forgotten how important you are to the church. And you need to come back and come back on God's terms. It's the only way we can do that. And ask for the prayers of a church. Brothers and sisters in Christ who love you, who care about you, and recognize your value. We'll be happy to study with you, pray with you, and be the kind of help that we as a family are supposed to be. If you need to respond to the invitation plea, won't you do that right now as we stand and as we sing this song?